Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad, Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it's what's for dinner. My good friend Robbie Falk, for my birthday, got me a big old T-bone steak. I'm going to cook that up this weekend and enjoy that. Thank you so much for that. That's what a good friend does. They get you beef. So this holiday season, I mean, you show up at somebody's house, you're like, hey, I got you a gift, but we got to put it in the fridge right now. And you brought them a whole tenderloin or a whole prime rib. That's the gift that keeps on giving. So maybe you should check that out. And, of course, if you don't want to do the cooking, we have so many great steakhouses around this state. Just go pick one out and vote for your favorite at the Mississippi Beef Council's Facebook page, along with your favorite burger joint. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. It is Cyber Monday over at College Corner. The code is Cyber24, 25% off, which is kind of funny, right? It's Cyber24, but it's 25% off. Regardless, 25% off the entire site, so anything you want to purchase on there, you can get 25% off with the code Cyber24, College Corner, Cyber Monday. We'll have another special to announce very, very soon. And we will get that out to you. College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, original by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. CollegeCornerStore.com is the website. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. It's always going to be Restaurant Tyler if you get the best meal in town. If you're going to go to lunch this week in Starkville, you can always go to Restaurant Tyler. If you want to go to dinner this week in Starkville and have Brian Haydad pay for it, Robbie Falk, you might be able to do that. So, you know, we've got some options there.
Get ready to learn stuffed pancake, buddy. I think you already know plenty about that.
I'm already fluent in that particular language. If you want to enjoy the best meal in town this holiday season, it's just easy to do. You head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you how they help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need to get an answer. You need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. They'll give you a level of service that you can't get at those corporate banks. Priority One Bank, let them make you their priority. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way here first. If you could tell by my rich baritone today, I have indeed tested positive for COVID-19. I've taken a trip back in time.
Two years in a row.
It is, yeah.
Because last year, I remember I was like driving you down the road and you're just coughing up a fit.
It was terrible.
And the next day, you're like, oh, yeah, I got COVID.
Yeah, I've done it to you again. But in fairness.
Yeah, I was at your house yesterday.
I tested negative on Tuesday. And so, you know, Wednesday, Thursday go by, I'm not getting any better. I go to Oxford on Friday, I'm not getting any better. So yesterday, around 6 o'clock, I was like, let me take another test. This is not right. And sure enough, it's positive. So that being said, it's going to be a struggle for me to get through this one, but I felt like we needed to bring this one to you. But there's nobody here at the studio today, so I didn't want to risk, you know, anything else. I've already risked enough, apparently. So we're just going to get through this one. We'll take the next 2 days off. We'll be back. We were going to take Tuesday off anyway. So we'll be back on Wednesday for the rumblings, and we'll go forward from there. The Egg Bowl, 26-14. Ole Miss gets the win, a game that was obviously a lot closer than either one of us thought that it was going to be. Mississippi State played better than we thought maybe they were going to. I thought the game plan, we'll talk a little bit about that coming up, was a good one on both sides of the ball. State had a chance to win this game. They had opportunities. They just couldn't quite get there. Where did it go wrong? Tell them, Falk.
Yay! Can I supplement? Can I do yay instead of well?
Yeah.
This time around because it's the last game?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
you.
This was it. Finn. This is the end. This is the Frodo Baggins gif whenever he threw the ring fires of Mordor. No, I mean, this played out the exact same way basically every single game that Mississippi State played on the road against a top 15 team. It looked a lot similar to Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, and Ole Miss. I mean, well, not including Ole Miss, but they all looked the same to me. They did some good things on defense in all those games. Like, they got a few stops. They got some turnovers in some of them. And the offense kind of left them out to dry. And then there were times in the games where the offense looked really good. They just couldn't put it all together again. And, you know, this game, you know, I talked about the similarities in some of those other road games. This looked a lot like the Florida and Missouri games too, in that State in the fourth quarter had a chance to cut it to a one possession game inside the 5-yard line and got 0 points. Did it against Florida when Blake Shapen was injured. They did it against Missouri a couple weeks ago. Happened again against Ole Miss. And when Kevin Coleman caught that pass and he was tripped up at the 1-yard line, I said out loud, audibly, they will not score right here.
Yeah, so did I.
I've seen that play. I've seen that outcome a ton of times in my career.
I never saw a replay of that. Did he actually score? Should they have challenged
him? I think he was down. Okay. His knee hit, and he was starting to stretch out. I think he was going to be, like, inside the one.
Okay.
But, you know, they didn't do – and they got a penalty in there. I mean, this team just found new ways to lose all the time. It never felt like they truly had a chance to win any of these SEC games in the fourth quarter. Like, and the strange thing about it is I think Georgia and Ole Miss were the closest opportunities for them to win in the fourth quarter. When you look at those games, it looked like they had real momentum at times in that ball game kind of late.
Yeah.
And it was a team that just couldn't find a way to do it. So that's over. You covered, you know, everybody else was creating chaos in their own way and that they were winning games. The best that Mississippi State could do this year in a chaotic year inside the SEC was cover.
Yeah.
And that's kind of depressing. You know, this was a year where State, even, you know, as bad as they were at times, they had a chance against some of these teams to get wins. And they couldn't join the bandwagon with the rest of the SEC. Kentucky was able to do it. Auburn was able to do it. Oklahoma. They all got upset wins. State never could. And, you know, that's going to be at the end of the day, that's kind of the story for this team, is they just could not find a way to win a game in SEC play. And, you know, I've seen people say, you know, the legacy of this team or whatever. I've seen people say this is the worst team in 40 years. I don't agree with that. I think 2003 was a worse team. I think 2002 was probably a worse team. This team was bad at winning. They couldn't find a way to win. But they did some good things on offense at times. Even the defense, you know, in the Egg Bowl, I thought was fairly good. So
they played good enough to win defensively.
They did. So that's it. I mean, there's just not a whole lot more we can talk about when it comes to the season. Now it's about moving on and preparing to build this team for next year. And I have some major concerns. I have some major concerns about Jeff Lebby as head coach here, about the direction of the program. I don't know if all that's going to be able to be answered in December, but you kind of need it to be in a good way. You need to be feeling good going into January about your team. If you have some major doubts about this team going into January, then it's going to be really tough for this program to move forward in 2025.
You can't disagree with anything you just said, 100%. And we're going to talk about, obviously, a lot of that coming up here in a minute. But I never allowed myself at any point Friday to think State could win. It was 14-10. They're playing well. I thought they got hosed on that pass interference non-call. But at no point – yeah, at no point did I go, well, if something happens here, you know, I said out loud – in the press box, I said, you know, this first drive is going to be really interesting in the second half. And State got a three and out, I think, or they at least forced a punt. And I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe they got something here if they can do something. But I would like to see the game in a world where that pass to Devon Booth gets to him. Because that would have been a touchdown. And then all of a sudden it's 21-17, and who knows?
Instead of an interception.
Yeah, instead of an interception. So we'll see where it takes us. Let's move into the things that are true. That's brought to you by our good friends over at – I've got to figure out how to do all this. Over at Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever your business needs in terms of getting the message of your business out, that's what Pip Printing and Signs provides for you. And they've been doing it for 30-plus years. So you know what you're getting into. You know you're dealing with people who have helped hundreds of businesses just like yours. And you know you're talking to people who have a plan that they can put it in place and get people walking in the door. This holiday season, you want customers coming in. They want them seeing what you got to offer for the holidays. You want to deal with Pip Printing and Signs. Pip Printing and Signs. Call Cam Baker today. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. When you want to have a great meal in Starkville, if you want to enjoy great barbecue, but it's a lot more than just barbecue. Like I say, it's smoked Southern soul food. The food at Two Brothers, always top-notch. One of my favorite places to eat in town, as is the older brother, Starkville's best new restaurant, the home of the Fancy Sandwich. Need to get back to both of those places. It's been too long since I've been there. I will make an attempt to do that as soon as my symptoms clear. Not going to go in the next 3-4 days.
Going to be a few days.
Going to be a few days. But when that time comes, I will make it over there to Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing now for 50 years.
50?
50. 50. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's just the same phone call. It's the same people. It's the same people you already know. You have that relationship with them. They treat you like a neighbor, not a number. They've been doing that for how long, Robbie?
50?
50 years. That's right. 601-362-9192. Or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. When you go to the games this winter, when you're at the hump, when we turn into spring, you're going to Diddy Noble or Neuse Park, you need to make sure you are at Maroon & Co. first. When you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, you got to get it at Maroon & Co. The biggest selection in town, stuff you can't find anywhere else. They have the Bulldog Initiative gear that nobody else has. They've got the custom cowbells from the Bellsmith. They've got it all. It's right there under one roof. Use our promo code THUNDER15. 15% off. 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Thunder 15. You can use it in-store or online before you go to a game in Starkville. Make sure you go to Maroon & Co. How many we got today? It's not a lot. It's got five. We're just going to hit some big picture stuff. Five things that are true here on the show. That's brought to you by the good folks over at Bell Building Supply, your platinum big green egg dealer here in Starkville and in the Golden Triangle this holiday season. You want to get Dad the ultimate gift. You want to get him a big green egg. Broke that thing out for cooked a big pork loin on it this past weekend. It was fantastic. It makes it so easy. Once that temperature is set, brother, you can go to the store. You can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. If you got a pork butt on there, once that thing's sitting on 275, you're locked in. You're good. Don't worry about it. It makes cooking easy, but you still keep that awesome live fire smoke feel of cooking. I love my big green egg. It's fantastic. I've been so glad that the good folks over at Bell Building Supply gave that to me this season. I'm hoping they'll let me keep it. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. If they come and get it, though, I may fight them. We'll see what happens. If you want to get a big green egg, you know who to call. The good people here in Starkville at Bell Building Supply. I got to give credit where credit was due on number one here. State had a winning game plan on both sides of the ball. They had the right game plan. The ability to attack Ole Miss over the top worked. I thought State's offensive line played maybe its best game of the year. Ole Miss didn't adjust. You know, Ole Miss all season long, they've been getting pressure with four. State was able to more or less negate that. And they never really blitzed to try to get around it. So I thought that was a good game plan there. And defensively, they did kind of what we talked about. They were able to crowd the line. Ole Miss, outside of, they have an 89-yard run. And that's the big play in the game, in my opinion. They averaged, I think, 2.5 yards a carry outside of that one run. So, you know, you have that outlier play, but by and large, they played good enough to win on both sides of the ball. I can't pin the coaches for this one. They had the game plan in place. I didn't like the play calling on the goal line, but all in all, they did enough to win this game.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you look at the game plan early on, defensively especially, it was the best of the year. I don't know why they didn't do that more. They brought pressure. They actually got a couple of sacks on Jackson Dart, which I don't know if they've had two sacks in a game in SEC play this year. The defensive production I thought was really good. I mean, even when you saw them going down the field, how many times did you see wide open Ole Miss receivers? And that it happens all the time, but we just didn't see that as much in that ball game. I thought the coverage was fairly good by the defensive backs. Even the pass to Prescorn, Hunter Washington's all over him. It's just a great individual play. And
I thought it was so ironic, Robbie, that last year Prescorn has the touchdown. He's wide open. Literally nobody in the picture with him. This year, Hunter Washington is doing everything but asking him out to dinner at that point, and he still makes the catch. Prescorn's a good player. You can't get around that.
There were very few plays where I just looked at State's defense, like they're out of position. They're not. They're misaligned. For the most part, I thought the game plan was good. I thought the calls were good. I thought the execution was about as good as State's had. Now, they gave up 250-plus rushing yards, I think. Mm-hmm. But Ulysses Bentley broke through the line and, to use his speed for an 85-yard run.
And I think if you go back and watch that play, Isaac Smith just whiffs. He whiffs on the tackle.
Yeah. So, that makes up for a lot of it. But the numbers side by side with Mississippi State and Ole Miss were not as bad as any of us thought. So the game plan was there. Offensively, I thought the game plan was there too. I thought it was a smart move by Jeff Lebby to virtually take the defensive line out of the ball game. Yeah. He was chunking it down the field. He told his receivers to go get it, and they were in one-on-one coverage a lot. And they won those battles several times throughout the game. And the defensive line didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to pin their ears back and do what they usually do. So to me, I thought both sides, I'm with you. I thought both sides had a really good game plan. It came down to execution. Mississippi State didn't execute enough.
Simple as that. I mean, you're just not wrong. And they did enough, but the player, this is one I can put on the players. If you want to, again, we said it last week too. If you're a person who wants to talk about it's just the talent's the problem, this game is a good example for you, in my opinion. Number two, this is the least confident I've ever felt in Mississippi State football. Literally nothing good has happened for State in months. You know, when's the last blue chip commitment that they got? When's the last positive bit of news that we've seen? You know, Kamario Taylor moving up in the rankings, is that where we're going to count as the only good news we've had in recent months? I'm 40. I just turned 49. I've sat through the 80s, the 90s. I was there for the end of Jackie and the beginning of Kroom. And I'm telling you right now, I have no faith that Mississippi State's going to turn this around anytime soon.
No, we have no evidence. Well, what's the evidence for us to have any faith? You know, with Mike Leach, you're 4-7 and you're one. You were 3-7 in the regular season. You got a bowl game because everybody got a bowl game. But we had two different head coaching stops to point to with Mike Leach that said he's going to be successful. And he turned it around. You know, the team had a chance to win 8 or 9 games in year two. They did win 9 games in year three. And the next season was going to be his best, probably. I have nothing to point to with Jeff Lebby. And then we have the whole, like, there has never been a fan base more united on wanting to get rid of someone on a staff like Mississippi State fans are with this defensive coordinator. We have no idea what's going to happen here. It's 3 days post Egg Bowl, and we still have not seen a change there. There's been some rumblings that it might happen after signing day, but not even that really makes a whole lot of sense.
In the NIL, portal world, it doesn't make any sense at all. You can leave whenever you want.
Yeah. So if Wednesday does come and go and nothing happens and you've kept your staff intact and you've kept your defensive coordinator, why are we supposed to believe that Jeff Lebby's capable of running this program, running an SEC program, and doing it successfully in this climate? It's a scary thought that you have a 134th ranked defense. At worst, you have 120th at just basically every single stat that you can think of. And your takeaway is, I just need better players. You know, I think that we can both agree that that's true. You do need better players. You got to get better players in here. And I don't care who the defense coordinator is. Mississippi State's defense would have struggled this year regardless. But how are you going to get better players? I don't understand how that's going to happen. Just simply telling me that you have the money, that doesn't really do it for me, because you're already losing battles in high school for players in junior college. So you're not able to win some of these battles on the high school and JUCO front. How are you going to convince a player that's got 1 year of eligibility to come to Mississippi State after what they've seen on the defensive side? I just don't have any faith in it right now. And they can obviously change our minds, but it's hard to imagine something drastically changing if you continue to run it back with what you got here. And you don't try to take the avenue of saying, hey, I screwed up here. I made a hire that I shouldn't have made. This guy's never been a defensive coordinator before. He's never run a defense on his own. That's on me. You know, that I think that would buy you a lot of grace with this fan base. But if you're snubbing your nose at the fan base, the people, again, that are paying for these players, that are trying to get you players, if you're snubbing your nose at them and telling them you know more than them and it's all players' thing, this is not going to end well. So we'll see how it plays out, but I'm with you. I don't have any faith right now that the recruiting class they have, you know, what they're going to sign on Wednesday, if they're even able to hold on to everybody, I don't know if that's going to be the case. That's not moving the needle. That there aren't a whole lot of players in this class that next year are going to help you compete and turn this thing around in a year or two. So it's down to the transfer. The transfer portal is what's going to make or break Mississippi State. Because I don't see that this recruiting class is going to do it. So it's a very alarming time to be a Mississippi State football fan. I think there's no doubt about that. There's a lot of things to be concerned about here with Mississippi State now moving into year two. And this next month is the biggest month of Mississippi State football in this modern era of football in Starkville. So I don't know.
Well, that makes two of us.
Not a lot of confidence.
Yeah. Number three, Friday afternoon, I saw Zach Selman outside the press box. Saw Dr. Keenum outside the press box going into the MSU suite. The visiting, I don't know what the word, dignitary suite is right next to the press box. So if you go to use the restroom, you walk past it. Spoke with both of them. Good to see them. There's no way that they watched what Ole Miss does in terms of the way they use their lights, their music, and their Jumbotron, and said, yeah, we're on the same level with this. We're good. It's just not possible. The gap between fan experiences at Ole Miss and State is bigger than the gap between the football teams. I mean, it's just insane. You know, and what they've done there, I can't imagine it costs a whole ton, right? They don't have the LED lights that, like, turn colors and stuff. You know, they're not making the stadium powder blue or anything like that, but they've got everything else figured out. Their music was good. It fits football. It's all music that gets crowds fired up. You're not being inundated with a bunch of ads the whole time. I mean, it's insane, the difference. And, you know, I understand that winning is more important, but you can do both. You can do both. And Mississippi State has – that's another thing that has to happen this offseason. Never mind the stuff on the field. They've got to improve what happens in the stadium to keep people coming back to these games.
Well, what they're doing is Larry Templeton approach, if that's the case. They're just trying to save money for the sake of saving money. I don't know what the true reason is. If they're saying that they just don't have the money, then Mississippi State is not operating like an SEC athletic department. You're the only SEC team at this point, I think, that doesn't have the bells and whistles like that. And, you know, I see Texas A&M running out last night. Just a really cool environment, really cool atmosphere that they have there. And if you turn on the television and you watch just about any SEC school, that's what you see. And anybody acting like this is just – it's beneath them and it's not important. You're dense. You don't get the bottom line. You don't get the big picture. This is part of selling Mississippi State. This is part of your experience as a student athlete. This is how you recruit. People see this on television. There's never been a bigger time for college football and for the SEC than right now. And Mississippi State is marching out with a couple of flames when they run out of the tunnel and daytime fireworks. I mean, it's not even close to the rest of the league, and State's got to catch up with that. And whatever, you know, it costs right now, fundraise for it, do what you have to do. If you can't operate a football atmosphere and a revenue sharing option, if you can't do that at the same time, then what are you doing in the SEC to begin with? I don't understand. Everybody else spends money on their football program. Mississippi State's got to do it too, which over the past year, I think State is spending a lot more money in football, but it's got to be more. And on the flip side of it, the argument is, well, they're not playing any nighttime games. And I get that too. You know, this year, the LED lights would have been put to use twice, but I still think it's a necessary thing that's got to be done. The speaker system is beyond embarrassing that you can't hear what's happening inside your stadium.
Yeah.
It's either too loud or it's too muffled or it's not loud enough. I don't know, you know, what's going on there, but they've got to do the necessary things to get that fixed, or Mississippi State's just going to continue to have a bad product out there with football.
When people say that you don't play a lot of night games, what time did that game kick off Friday?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the two games that you did have were
– You have them.
You basically, you know, the sun had gone down, so the fourth quarter you would have had it. But
yeah. But it's just an excuse. It's just an excuse. Oh, we don't have a lot of night games. Well, we don't have a lot of night games. So what?
That doesn't mean that you shouldn't invest.
Just not do it.
That doesn't mean that you shouldn't invest in your product.
Right.
To me right now, like the general, when you're telling me that, well, you know, it just didn't have any night games. We need to be spending money on players or whatever. That's just telling me that you don't want to do what it takes to make your product the best it can possibly be.
Right.
You don't have enough pride in your football stadium. These are people that call themselves the biggest State fans that there is. You don't have enough pride to make your stadium the best that it possibly can be. You don't have enough pride that this is the door to your university.
Yeah.
When people open it up, this is what they see first is Mississippi State football games. And you don't have enough pride to make that the best it can possibly be. What's the point? Just be a casual fan. Why even spend time coming to football games at that point? Yeah. There's no reason. So either do it right, do it the best that you possibly can and stay in the fight inside the SEC, or just continue to fall towards the bottom of the conference and be the next Vanderbilt. That's what you're looking at if you don't do something about this. And the prices on this construction to put up the lights and the sound and all that stuff, they're doing nothing but going up. This isn't going to drastically drop anytime soon. So now's the time to do it. I mean, invest in it, bite the bullet, and get it over with. Because once you get it in there, then – you know, you're good to go for a little bit.
Number four. State, you know, there was a time in recruiting where, you know, Mullen would take these guys and you're like, well, I trust Mullen's evaluations, right? Because he found all these 2- and 3-star guys and turned them into superstars, right? He found Dak Prescott and he found Elton Jenkins and Nick Fitzgerald and Tevez Calhoun, right? Turned them all into great SEC players. That's not what's happening with this JUCO movement that Mississippi State's doing right now. This is not State's coaches outsmarting anybody. This is desperation. This is, we're going to take whoever is willing to sign at this point. That is some Sylvester Croom stuff right there. That's what Croom would do. He'd just be like, he would go after a big target, he would say no, and he'd be like, all right, well, go get this kid. He didn't have any other Power 5 offers, he'll take ours. And sometimes it worked out. You got a Titus Brown out of that deal, but what was Croom's record? So I just don't understand what the coaching staff. I mean, you got David Turner, who blocked you on Twitter, which I'm still laughing about. Tweeting
Turner, David Turner's, I don't know what's going on, man. The defensive line is a mess.
He's tweeting about getting this guy Jamarcus Moy, and they're like, no offense to the kid. I'm glad he's having his moment, but like, we're already talking about he's not actually going to be a contributor. They're just bringing him in for the spring and giving him like a tryout. So like, if you're a defensive line coach, why are you tweeting about that? Just be like, great, you know, like, you're not drumming up any excitement by doing that. More people are asking why you're still employed.
Yeah, and we're the idiots.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what gets me is like sometimes these coaches are just they're too smart for their own good. They know way more than the rest of us. I can promise you that. I could get in a room and be absolutely embarrassed by David Turner and Coleman Hutzler and Jeff Lebby. They would absolutely embarrass me, you, everybody that has an opinion on the internet would be embarrassed. But sometimes there's just some things that are so simple and so easy to see that they just kind of snub their nose and like you don't know what you can't see what I see. But what we see is a guy in junior college that has no stats. Nobody else in the Power Four wants, you know, some of these players. That's the problem. We don't have to be smart enough to look at film. I don't have to pull up film and say, well, this guy has quick twitch. You know, he can get off the ball. He's got leverage. I don't have to be able to do that. I can look at a guy's offer sheet now because this is 2024. This isn't 2012 where guys completely fly under the radar. Everybody's seen now. That doesn't happen much anymore. That's like a 1% thing now.
Yeah.
So, if I look at an offer sheet and I see FIU in, Louisiana Monroe and Mississippi State is the only SEC Power Four team on this offer sheet, I'm concerned. Why did we slip in and find this guy nobody else could see? That doesn't make any sense. So, and that's like, some of these places are big junior colleges. But again, I've kind of prefaced this argument with like there is some guys in this JUCO recruiting class that are good players that I think can help Mississippi State next year. It's just the fact that they're going to be double digit deep in junior college for players. And we're having a conversation about multiple junior college players that we're saying are not going to be that are like the collective players.
Yeah. And we're not even talking about guys outside the state of Mississippi. Like, if they were getting JUCO guys from Texas or California or something, you'd be like, okay, well, maybe they got something going on here. They're just picking off guys here in Mississippi that don't have any other offers. They don't have any other Power 5 or SEC.
And there are some from, like, California, Texas, you know. I just, I look at this defensive line and I don't see a whole lot of, at this stage, I don't see a whole lot of reason to be totally sold on them fixing it next year.
Yeah.
And it's a concern. Like it just feels like, from the surface level, what we're seeing right now, it feels like they're just going through the motions. And I know they're not. I know they're scrambling and they're trying and all that stuff. But when you're talking about they're keeping the defensive staff together, at least what we see right now, you're instead of going after some 4-star defensive linemen, some guys like you're offering guys you're really going hard. You're trying to push for guys. They're just going after the easy lane, which is go get the JUCO guys in Mississippi. And I don't think that's a winning formula. I don't think that's going to be something that gets you back in this thing. So it's a major concern. And you just keep seeing new guys pop up. And you look at their JUCO stats, and there's just nothing impressive about it. And you look at the offers that they have, and there's nothing impressive about it. And again, there are some guys in here that don't fit that mold. I like Saquon Miles a lot, but he was on Ole Miss's campus this past weekend.
Yeah.
Who knows if they're even going to be able to hold on to him? I like Tylan Coleman. He was at Florida State.
He's not committed yet, is he?
No, he's not committed anywhere. So who knows with him? It's a very discouraging time right now.
Yeah.
There's just, I've talked to people today. I'm like, there's just nothing to be excited about. That in 2009, Dan Mullen had 5 wins, but everybody was pumped. They beat Ole Miss at the end of the year. They signed a really good signing class. They had a lot of excitement, a lot of players coming back. You had players in that signing class that you felt like were going to help you. And the next season, you won 9 games. And with this, you're 2-10. You were nowhere close to beating anybody in the SEC this year in a year of chaos. Your signing class is going to be high 20s. You're fighting to hold on for your best players in the class. And then, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the transfer portal. So it's just a, you know, it's very discouraging right now. It's very, I don't know what's going to happen. It's very scary. It's a very scary time.
Well, I will tell you what I think is going to happen with my final thing that is true. Number 5, if there aren't staff changes, I believe Mississippi State will hire another football coach in 2025. I don't have any faith in this staff at this moment. I think if you bring Hutzler back, you're probably looking at another, you know, winless season in SEC play and possibly, you know, another embarrassing non-conference loss. God forbid they lose to Southern Mississippi. I just don't see where this is going right this second. I mean, it feels like these are easy decisions to make, and yet they're not, apparently. And that is not, you know, one thing about Mullen, he had no problem pulling the trigger. You know, now, he kept his offensive guys around, but offensively they were never the worst team in the country, right? I think our issues with Mullen and his offensive guys was more about they're just not great recruiters. But when they had to play the games, State scored more than enough points most games. This is different. This is the worst statistical defense in college football in almost every category. And it is the worst defense in this school's history, as far as I can tell. And yet they're going to consider not just running it back with these guys. I can't believe that. And if you're going to tie yourself to Coleman Hutzler, Jeff Lebby, you're going to end up, you know, if you both sink, if one sinks, the other one's going down with him. I don't like the silence around the fact. I'm very surprised there hasn't already been a move, and that leads me to believe there's not going to be one. I agree with you on the signing day thing. It's pointless. There's a transfer portal. You can leave whenever you want. You can go to as many schools as you want to go to. See Rashad Amos. It doesn't make any sense to not just go ahead and make the move and get it over with. And get your, again, we're just talking about our fans. Just one positive thing going forward. I don't know.
And that's the thing is, like, whether he agrees with it or not, you know, I think anybody that watched the defense this year can see they're not talented. And that's not on Coleman Hutzler. A lot of that's not on him. I think there were a lot of things on Coleman Hutzler, but he has to stand by that defense. But it's not worth putting your job on the line this next year. I mean, you're trying to keep this fan base happy, trying to keep people engaged, and you're trying to build on the worst season that Mississippi State has had in 20 years. One way to do that is by shaking it up a little bit. Let's see what can happen. This isn't worth losing your job a year later, because if they continue this trend, if they go 2-10, 3-9 next year, you can't keep Jeff Lebby.
Right.
You can't keep Jeff Lebby with 5 wins in 2 years.
You can't go Chad Morris here.
No.
You got to go.
And right now there's no, you know, Showtime. He came in here with the Showtime thing. You know, Mississippi State was really blowing that up. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's not fun. Nobody is having fun right now. There's not a single person in this fan base having fun. You just went 2-10. You got a recruiting class that's going to be ranked near the bottom of the SEC. The transfer portal, you have money, but who's going to take it? We have to see some results. And, like, working behind the scenes and all that stuff, it feels like this staff has never understood how to market itself, how to get some people excited. We started talking about this back in August or July about the fact that, and we, you know, people got mad at us for that stuff. It's an early sign. Whenever you need to build some juice, start getting some people excited. Bring some people out to practice. Let people see what you got going. Instead, it was like, we're working behind the scenes. We're going to do this and that. The Caleb Cunningham stuff, you know, Caleb Cunningham is on campus. He's at Jeff Lebby's house. You have absolutely nothing to lose. They try to be so quiet about that. On Wednesday, Caleb Cunningham will be signing with Ole Miss, and he's not giving Mississippi State a second look. And all the fits that were thrown over the fact that we were talking about Caleb Cunningham was at State, Ole Miss blew that up, and look who's signing. So it goes back to that. It feels like the staff has never been able to truly understand how to build excitement, how to get people excited about your program, sell tickets, all that stuff. And we will see when they get into the 2025 season, if everything is run it back and they're just going to go with the junior college system and get a bunch of group of five players in here to compete on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see what the stands look like next season. And that will be the telltale sign. And then a lot of people will be coming back and that they won't be saying you and me were right about anything, but they'll be coming back complaining. I know that there's some right now that are complaining about the current state that were after our heads in September. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. They're going to have to do something in the next few weeks to get people back on board.
Weren't we told Texas wasn't very good?
We were told that.
Okay, I was making sure.
We were told that. I think you picked them to go undefeated, and I picked one loss.
You were correct. You had them losing to Georgia. So we'll see how that pans out. A lot of important stuff happening in the world of the world. A lot of things going on here at Mississippi State. Let's talk about something else that that might be important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee's for closers is brought to you by the good folks over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Barth.
That would be really weird.
So, congrats to one of our Twitter followers, The Saw Man. He has won a prize pack from Strange Brew Coffee House. They'll be getting in touch with you, and congratulations to you. You have won that. If you are looking for a prize pack under the tree this year, go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and order something from there. If you've got a coffee lover in your life, the perfect gift is available to you at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. I don't know that I went this way during the regular season. I'm giving MVB the no coffee. Van Buren did not play well enough. The first interception, he threw it directly at an Ole Miss defender. There's nobody in the picture. He's throwing it into like quadruple coverage, basically, but he short arms it to the point where it lands right in the linebacker's arms. And then the second interception, he's got him. He's got Booth open for a touchdown, and he just can't make the throw. Had a couple other deep throws that were available, and he just missed on them. So, he played okay, but he had an opportunity to have a monster game and just missed some of those passes.
Yeah. And I want to know what would have happened, you know, had he not thrown the two interceptions. The first one, you're probably going to punt anyway on that, but you hand-delivered them 3 points. That they were in field goal range after the interception. The second one, if he's able to hit that pass, there's a very decent chance that Booth scores.
Mm-hmm.
So without those two interceptions, that's, what, a 10-point turnaround?
Huge.
I mean, and then, you know, I don't know if I really blame him on that, on the goal line.
No,
the play I can't think of bad, anything man. That he did really wrong. I mean, he threw it. The pass was in there for – was it Coleman on the touchdown?
Yeah, just a tough catch, but I'm not mad about that. But he had some other opportunities. So, I mean, I feel like I said, I thought the game plan was good, so I got to pick something there. So, in the SEC
– go ahead. Well, go ahead and finish this.
Okay. In the SEC, you know, you can't gripe and complain about your in-state rival joining the conference – and just gripe and moan and you know what and everything else. And then when they show up at your home stadium in front of a massive sellout crowd and all that electricity, you got handled. So Texas 8-4. Texas A&M, no coffee for them. They just, I mean, we always talk about like when you have rivalries, there's always one team that's like the little, they talk about being the little brother. Sometimes it's ridiculous. Not in this case. Texas A&M is 100% Texas's little brother. They little broed them.
Yeah,
that game was never close.
Can you imagine? Like you wait that long to play a team again? I mean, they've been anticipating this game since you know, before the announcement, but especially since that announcement that that Texas and Oklahoma are coming in.
Yeah.
And then you come in there and like the offense had no chance. How many times did they were in position to go score points and they couldn't do it?
Yeah.
Like they never really had a chance to score on offense.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. If you take away, I mean, it was not as close as the final score.
No.
They threw a pick six inside the red zone.
Yeah.
They had a punt blocked.
Yeah.
And Texas A&M, like I said, they weren't scoring. So if that's just a regular punt, they're not going to score on that drive. The game should have been a 4-touchdown game for Texas. It felt like they weren't even really in the ball game. Texas controlled that thing.
Maybe a never more obvious choice for no coffee, for the national one, than the Ohio State University. Again, they got little broed.
Yeah, that's a little bro.
When you know, you have your backyard hoop, right? You got the big brother and the little brother. Big brother always wins the backyard games, right? Then one day, little brother, he figures it out, and he's you know, he's the better athlete at this point. You know, little brother's a little too old, little disinterested, and he still smokes him. Come on, man. And for them to put all that, I mean, they talk about that game so much. Like, we just think that, like, the State Ole Miss dominates conversation. Like, at Ohio State, that game is everything. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of 2017 here when, you know, Ole Miss has been hit by the NCAA, you know, and everybody's like, we're going to put the final nail in them right here. And they won. Kind of the same thing. Everybody's like, ah, they won that national title, but it's going to get vacated, and now they've fallen apart, and we're gonna kill them here on our way to the Big Ten championship game. And they lose like that, and then you have the brawl. You got pepper spray happening. I mean, it's incredible. Ryan Day just standing there like an idiot, wondering what the hell's going on. I'm not a big Dave Portnoy fan, but when he screams "born on third base" about Ryan Day, he is 100% accurate. That guy has done nothing at Ohio State. So this is an easy choice for me.
And this was, you know, Urban Meyer was saying this was the best roster quite possibly ever in college football.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have two losses. Who's good in college football? Oregon? Is that it? Texas?
I think Oregon's good. I think
people keep complaining about there shouldn't be 12 teams. There's not four teams right now that I feel good about.
So,
I read
a good, interesting post, and I thought I agreed with it, that they're talking about how, like, Texas didn't play anybody, right? Well, Texas played Florida, who beat Ole Miss, and Texas played Kentucky, who beat Ole Miss, and they played Vanderbilt, who beat Alabama, and they played Michigan, who beat Ohio State. So, at some point, it was like, maybe that you were thinking that Texas isn't any good, because they beat all these teams that that other teams couldn't beat. It's like, it's crazy. It's a good point, though. If you're 11-1 at this point in the season, you're a good team.
Yeah, because everybody's had a couple of really bad games where somebody slipped up and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff, it's really watered down the product. Like, it's watered down the play. But it's made everything – it's kind of like, you know – I don't really know what to make of it because it's made everything
chaotic. I love the parody. And the fact, we talked about this a lot, Robbie. Mississippi State should have been able to join in on that.
Yes, they had those opportunities.
But they just couldn't get there, and that's on the coaching staff for the most part.
That's what's so depressing about the whole thing.
Exactly.
Like,
if they had been 3-9 with one of those wins, if they had just beaten A&M or Missouri, we'd be like, all right, you know, it's okay.
You know, because I can argue, like, Kentucky is as bad a state.
Right.
But Kentucky actually bared down and they beat
something
that was good. State couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And that's what's so depressing about the whole thing is, like, this. There's never been more parity than there is right now. And State literally could not find it. And in fact, they lost to Toledo. So it was even worse. It's just been really depressing. Like, the whole thing is just and now we gotta follow this transfer portal, and it gets worse and worse. If this is one of the things I was gonna ask, if by some chance your State is able to bring in, like, they keep, say they keep like like Bryce Pollock and Isaac Smith and like the people that you are actually excited about.
Guys. Yeah.
They keep those guys. They get like a really good edge rusher. They get a solid nose tackle.
Yeah. They put together a class they have to put together.
They get a cornerback.
Yeah.
Maybe another safety. Are you good with running it back with what you got?
No.
You're still upset about that.
Well, I mean, upset's not the right word. At that point, it's going to be like, all right, show me. But you got that because at that point, you don't have any more excuses, right? If your excuse was, well, we don't have the players. All right, you went out and got the players. You damn well better be better next year. You better be back in a bowl game.
But are you? Are you giving them a chance to do that? Are you saying in your mind? Are you saying, okay, let's see what they got? Are you saying it doesn't matter?
In my mind, I would be saying I don't believe in them. If that makes sense. I would be like, all right, they got players, but I don't believe they're going to turn it around.
I would have a little more faith because I do think this defense would have been better had they had – I think it would have been a lot better had they had an SEC defensive line. Like, if they can correct that,
yeah,
then I have a little more grace, but it still stands to reason, like, people that have – a side of the ball that is ranked where this one is, they don't survive that job. They just don't.
Yeah.
You don't see defensive coordinators or offensive coordinators that finished in the 130s in most categories keep their job. They're all right now, we're all getting graphics by On3 that they've been fired.
Fire. And
several of them were fired, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But Mississippi State is total silence right now. I can't believe it. I really can't. I still have in the back of my mind, like, they're just waiting this out for a few more days.
So here's what we're going to say. If we're doing our podcast on Thursday for Friday and nothing's done, at that point, I think we're going to lock in that it's going to stay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I agree. All right.
And at that stage, it's countdown clock.
Yeah. You know, it's 100%.
There's not going to be much faith in this fan base. People are going to stop buying season tickets. I can promise you that. People are going to stop giving to the State Excellence Fund because they're feeling that their money's going to waste and nobody's listening to them. You've told people to shut up about LED lights. You've told people to shut up about logos. Now you're telling people to shut up about defensive coordinator. Everything's fine. People are going to be done at that point. It's just going to be all in on Chris Jans. And, you know, maybe Chris Lemonis, and that's it. Because you've told your stakeholders that they're idiots and they don't know what they're talking about. They don't have a marketing degree and they don't have a coaching degree. So sit down and shut up. That's what you've told them. And people are getting tired of that. The middle class, I would call them, the people that aren't – because the people that are in the suites and giving big money, they're appeased. They're taken care of. But it's the people that we hear from, people that we talk to, that are getting pushed aside.
I talked to a person who's one of those boosters who said, going to have trouble staying engaged if the transfer portal class is.
Yeah, even some of those are.
Yeah.
Even some of those are. There's no doubt.
August 30th, 2025, Mississippi State travels to Hattiesburg to play Southern Mississippi. You better win that game by 40-plus points.
Now, I've seen people saying State is like they're already predicting a loss in that game. I mean, we still have to.
Yeah, I know.
I get it.
I would just say that you need to be – that needs to be a convincing win.
Yeah, it does. I'm not ready to predict a loss in that game yet. Like some other people. Some people are going off the rails, and that understand how bad –
But you need to win that game. Yeah. You need to win that game badly. All right. We're going to take a couple of days off. Let me heal up, and then we'll be back with you on Thursday for another Thunder and Lightning. We'll do the rumblings on that day, so I'll make sure I text Robbie, get him to tweet out about the rumblings, and we'll do that on Thursday. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you very soon. Thanks for listening. This has been Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.